Welcome to the podcast. I'm joined here this morning with two wonderful guests, Sue Stein and Dr. Jesse Roski. Can you tell us a little bit about your title and why you're on this call today?
I'm Jesse Roski. I'm the medical director for the inpatient section of clinical documentation integrity. But despite the inpatient section nature of my role, we have taken on a partnership with the compliance department to try to provide providers the support that they need for the new changes to evaluation management that went live on January 1 of this year.
Great. Thank you. And Sue?
And I'm Sue Steinberg, the compliance manager for professional services. And our role really is to support our providers, really look at data to assure that our providers are perhaps not a risk or that we have some potential to help providers. So we're really there to help build tools, support providers, and understanding the E&M changes for 2021.
Great. Well, thank you. And I think it is really important to emphasize as our physicians and APPs are barraged by changes that are happening all the time, typically driven by regulations, that we're really here to support them. Can you talk a little bit about the support that you can provide to physicians and APPs?
So the first thing was that to prepare for the changes that went live on January 1, we're really proud of the teamwork that compliance, CDI, coding, and IS did to create a really intensive kind of training workshop that was 2 hours in length. We offered that 4 times in November and December, and I know some people didn't get the chance to engage in it live. 670 people did join us, but if either you're struggling or you weren't able to join live, that content is still available. And because of the support from the medical staff office, it's still available with CME credit, even though you're engaging in recorded content, which is, you know, kind of a nice bonus and not something that's typically offered because it's a lot of work. So that content is still there. And we've also archived everything else that we keep building on AffiliateNet. I know a couple of people have had questions on where to go. It really is in one spot. It's all out there on AffiliateNet. We chose that spot because there's epic intellectual property, but it's the very first tile. When you look at the AffiliateNet website, you have to be either connected through a VPN or on site in order to access the AffiliateNet. I've emailed out the tip sheet that on a few times, but if anybody has questions on how to do that, email me. Otherwise, anything that you're looking for, the handouts, the initial workshop, it's up there. And then the other thing we're very excited about is just about 2 weeks ago at the end of January, we recorded the first of what's going to be a series where we called Fireside Chats. We're just trying to make sure people get the questions that they need answered. So we're hearing feedback. The feedback is great. We're hearing where people are struggling, and we've created new content to specifically address that. The first one that we did, Fireside Chat number one, really looked at some of the things that came out of the FAQ, looked at a couple of updates in the rulemaking that came from CMS, looked at giving people more demos and examples, because that's something we really heard that they wanted to see. So walking through how the note worked and how the calculator worked. The second one we only did as a recording because I wasn't sure enough people would really want to engage in that content. It's only half an hour, but it really goes in depth on how the data element of medical decision making is graded, because that element is super complex. So that has a pretty in-depth, deeper in the weeds than most people would want to go. And that one's available on AffiliateNet. There's no CME. It's just for people who really want to understand in which they're graded. If people don't want to get into the depth of that detail, part of why we didn't push it hard is you really don't have to. Overall, I think the other thing to know is it's okay to just write down the basics of what you did in good faith and let the coders grade you through the audit tool. So knowing that you don't have to be a coder, you don't have to know the ins and outs of the regulation. If you don't want to, you can still be successful. We continue to develop content, and we anticipate the Fireside Chat series to keep going.
Thank you. So what would you add?
Well, I think Dr. Roski's done a wonderful job, and we appreciate her support immensely. Off of her recordings and presentations, we've compiled a FAQ that we keep updated and update quite frequently on a weekly basis. So providers, if they have additional questions, that's probably their first stop, is to look there. And we develop tools to help engage them for E&Ms to somewhat understand. And once we're sure that there aren't any changes, we'll laminate them and send them out to providers to have tacked in their offices. For now, they have a rendition. They can print them off and post them in their offices. We've already run production reports for January to help identify providers who may be struggling and identify, and then we'll try to get in there and audit those providers and give them some feedback, whether it's maybe helpful to utilize a specific ambulatory note or, you know, kind of tweak their note, what we're looking for. So I think we're gearing up. We've really, all last fall, we were auditing cases to be sure that we were reviewing things. I keep in constant contact with a lot of the other healthcare facilities. I just spoke with North Memorial yesterday and Ascensia, just to make sure that we're on track and that we're providing the best information to our providers.
Great, thank you. So if I'm somebody, if I'm a physician or APP who has engaged in the training and is doing my best, but I'm really feeling overwhelmed, what could you tell me that might make me feel better about the future?
So I think the most important thing is to recognize that this major overhaul and adjustment, as hard as it is, as much as it's coming at just a really unfortunate time in our personal and professional lives, it is the thing that's going to stick for a while. Maybe that's not initially comforting, but the idea that we got used to the old way and it became rote and it became just part of our everyday professional life, and we didn't have to think about it so hard. This new way will get there. We will have the ability to just feel like this is routine. It will take practice. It will take reiteration. I know there's pressure to make sure that you're getting the production that your efforts are worth. You know, there is no getting around the fact that that has impact on our compensation. But in the meantime, we can take a deep breath and give ourselves some grace and know that it will come. And the, you know, the other thing is, if you're struggling with the content we've given so far, there are some other ways that you can engage in the content if you learn a little bit differently. So if you'd rather read, you know, just really looking at the handout, I know Sue mentioned that earlier, and it really is like a one-stop shop. All the information you need is packed into that one place. If you learn better by doing, the calculator and the notes are all available out there in Playground. So, you know, I know that's asking more time outside of our clinical day, but you can practice with them to increase your efficiency. And then the other thing that is brand new is, I know we hear from people, they really want to hear more individualized and real-time feedback. So as of the 8th, we went live in production with a new message from coders. When the code you submit and then the note that you wrote don't quite match up and the coders have to unfortunately downcode you, you'll get a message that's been completely revamped to try to teach you as close to real-time as possible, you know, what, where your gap in understanding and documentation was. You know, there's a lag in coding. It doesn't come, you know, your next clinic day, but that information is really quite specific to you, quite specific to the encounter you did, and pretty darn close to real time. As Sue mentioned, we know people really want data and individualized support. I wish we could say we were doing elbow-to-elbow coaching with every single person. We simply don't have the team members who can do that for the 600, 700 people who need to know that. But we are also working to give that more individualized support to everyone we can. It'll just be patience, but we'll get there. We'll help you. We're not going to leave anybody in the lurch to figure this out on their own.
I'm particularly excited about hearing about the real-time feedback, because that's, I think, a frustration for folks that they don't, this is not what they do all day, every day. They don't remember the rule, for example. And to give specific feedback so you can adjust, I think is excellent. Sue, what would you add?
I think too, if you're struggling, to make sure that you reach out and ask. Being frustrated and not knowing only complicates and makes you more frustrated. So we are all here. My team receives many, many questions, and that's what we're here for, is to help support you. We can certainly get in and have that dialogue. I connect with coding leadership almost on a weekly basis. And Dr. Roski has been very supportive, and all questions that are being asked to us, we're trying to filter them onto that FAQ. Again, that's a reference for providers to be able to pick up and maybe learn a couple other things that they may have questions but didn't want to ask.
Excellent. Jesse, you may have covered this already, but if you had to explain the why to somebody who's, you know, spending their day, you know, in the trenches seeing patients, and this seems like it is one more burden, what would you say?
I think The idea that change is hard is just the elephant in the room we have to accept, but this is actually really positive change. This is really exciting change. The idea that CMS is saying the way we practice clinical medicine is different now than it was when the last iteration of rulemaking was there, that there is a ton of sort of unreimbursed care, not necessarily face-to-face with the patient, a huge amount of time and effort and cognitive work that goes into doing good care, really complex patients that have a lot of chronic conditions, that we're saying CMS is trying to reward that work in a different way. So revamping how the rule is done, it's going to be hard change, it's going to be slow, it's going to have major impacts to compensation structures that, you know, is discussed in other forums. And we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, so the unknown is what's hard. But the idea of it, that we're trying to reward this population health idea of taking good care of complex patients as well as we possibly can outside of the acute care setting and seeing to their preventative care and seeing to their long-term care management, that we're rewarding that, that is a positive change.
And we will be continuing to offer discussions regarding the E&M changes. We're in process of working through those, so stay tuned. Sue, you've seen a lot of change doing the work over the years. How would you characterize this?
I feel like this is a positive move. I was around for the development of 95 guidelines and then 97. There were some push to develop vignettes for different specialties, and that kind of went on the wayside. So this was an exciting time for all of us to recognize that the way providers practice has changed. The volume of patients that we see now have changed. So I really feel like it's a positive move. And if nothing else, what I've told providers is document what you are providing. Document what you've ordered. Payers are looking for your thought process of how ill you feel this patient really is. So those are things that I could see evolving and changing as we were moving towards 2021 already with other payers. So I feel like this is a positive change, and they want to give you credit for the work as a provider that you've provided to your patients.
Yeah, it seems to me that they've been emphasizing the importance of medical decision making. What frustrated me with the old system was it seemed to be focused on checking boxes and didn't really get at the intellectual process that we were trying to get at. Can either of you comment on that?
Yeah, I think so. When I train people on E&M, I train inpatient and ER as well. And then the old ambulatory content, that was exactly my analogy. What we're asked to do is to satisfy certain box checky requirements in order to make sure that our medical decision making is what rules the day in the end. So you're graded very specifically on history and on exam and not able to use your clinical judgment as to whether or not that stuff was actually helpful for the patient's clinical narrative and clinical care. And you were just simply checking the boxes to protect your level of service. And that wasn't good for our cognitive efforts. It wasn't good for note bloat and making sure that the note was simple and elegant and actually furthered the patient's care. So I think the other shift of this that's positive is it tries to get our documentation back to the soul of the original purpose. We're here to further clinical care. So you can put your energy into trying to give that a basic assessment of what you see as the patient's story, as their risk, as their clinical options. And that information is what's in the best interest of the patient to have access to, as our notes are more transparent, and what's in the best interest of carrying their clinical care forward as they see other providers and see you in follow-up. So that we can shift our documentation focus to what really matters clinically is another really positive alignment.
So that's really important. And I'd like to go further down this line, because one of the things that I hear from my colleagues, the physicians and APPs, with their frustration with medicine is they feel pulled further and further away from their true purpose, which is serving patients. And in some ways, this seems to me to be trying to redirect that towards the art of caring for people. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think it was so fun to be able to say that, like, how refreshing. This is a change in regulation that aligns with what we need at the front lines, the chance to focus our energies on our clinical care. The note is, it's like a necessary evil. I mean, and it's, they've blown up over years. They're so much longer. We pull so many things out of them. We're graded on our own personal professional encounter. We're graded on the diagnosis, capture the patient. We're looking at population health metrics and quality metrics. And there's so much energy that's pulled from the note. It means you have to put a bunch of energy into it, right? But the sort of box checking nature of the exam and the history wasn't serving anybody. And the recognition of that, that then we can put our energy into the clinical care. And you write down what you need to in order to say, I want to refer to this exam again in the future, or just medical legally, there are things you want to document you looked at and talk to the patient about. But you really can put your energy into, you know, this is what I assess the symptom to be. This is what our options are. This is what I discussed with the patient. It doesn't have to be a magnum opus, but it really lets you put your energy into the art of clinical care rather than in just, I'm just filling out information in the EMR in order to do it.
Yeah, I think we can't emphasize this enough because ultimately that's really where our value is our judgment, right? It's the medical decision-making, whether you're in what sometimes called cognitive specialties versus proceduralists, it's still ultimately your judgment. And I applaud this focus on that.
And I think, you know, you said what to tell people who are having a hard time and this is anxiety provoking. You know, you do not have to understand how you're graded. I think most people want to know that. And I mean, nobody wants to operate in a vacuum, especially when it will determine your work reviews. But if you're struggling to understand the ins and outs of how you're graded, you can still succeed. You know, there's a relatively short list of understanding, okay, you're graded on medical decision making. There's only three things in that package. You're graded on the problems. Write down what you managed and speak clearly when you think that there's something risky and of significant consequence to the patient. There's some buzzwords we've recommended that you want to try to use, like when someone's in exacerbation or has a side effect. There's data. The way data is graded is heinous. It is so complicated, but you can succeed without knowing any of that. You just have to know, okay, I ordered a test, I reviewed a test, I personally interpreted a test, I interviewed another person in this patient's life. You know, their daughter accompanied them to the visit and they provided history. I personally discussed this care with another specialty. And then there's the risk. And the risk, we really encourage people to use that risk statement because it's exactly that, Tom. It's your judgment. You know, if you see that there's a certain situation of, I need to provide a prescription for the over-the-counter medication here because in absence of that prescription, I worry that this parent will struggle to get the right dose for a pediatric dosing when the label on the over-the-counter medication just says discuss with provider. Or I worry that this patient has issues with English literacy and they'll have a hard time doing their medications correctly unless I write it out as a prescription for them. Even if it's over-the-counter management, you can then apply your judgment to explicitly call out that judgment effort that you did, and it can elevate the risk and the level of service you know in your gut you're clinically doing.
I think that's excellent. And I, you know, Sue will probably remember some previous conversations with me where I was frustrated with the old system in that I would be seeing children coming in for chemotherapy in partnership with Minneapolis Children's. And because of the box checking nature of the old system, that was viewed as not particularly high risk compared to me treating with somebody with an ear infection with amoxicillin. It just drove me absolutely crazy because the risk was so different. You know, so I really appreciate us moving in that direction. So we're coming to the end of our time here today. Any big takeaway points you would make? I know we've covered quite a bit, but in summary?
Know that help is there. More individualized help is coming. And if you feel like you're struggling, if this is anxiety provoking, you're not the only one. But we know nobody is crashing and burning, going down in flames. People are generally doing okay. Take a deep breath. Just do your best. Try to simplify the information for yourself of that stuff I ran through, just the basics you need to know, and practice, and it will get easier.
I want to emphasize that what you said earlier as well, it's possible to be successful without knowing a lot of the ins and outs of this, to focus on what's really important, correct?
Absolutely. I think you don't have to know about how the lanes are driven, how the data is abstracted and graded. Just having a sense of, I need to write down in good faith what I did. You just have to know the things that matter, the things that count and might drive that level of service to the level it deserves. So if you know that relatively short list of these are the things I'm grading on, problems, risk, and data, even if I don't know exactly how the data goes into this crazy blender and determines the level, that is okay. You can still just write down what you did in good faith and trust your coder to be a coder.
Excellent. So it's kind of like the putting on the blinker in your car. You don't have to know what happens between putting on the blinker and the light flashing, right? But you got to turn on the blinker.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to know how the sausage is made, for another metaphor. Mine's less pleasant, I think. But you don't have to know how the sausage is made. You have to know what you need to put into it, what they're looking for. But in the end, the coders are doing the hard work on the back end, and they're doing a great job. And we trust them as professionals, and they have our back.
Oh, that's a perfect note to end on. The coders, Susine, her team, Dr. Jesse Roski, are there to support each of you as physicians and APPs. I'd like to thank them for their very thoughtful explanations today, and we invite your further questions. Let's keep talking.